Greetings and salutations! Welcome to Passionately Interested, a podcast where we discuss all things... I was trying to do a thing.
Listen, you can't do that without warning me ahead of time.
But then I get a genuine reaction from you. Welcome to Passionately Interested, a podcast where we discuss things with Passionately Interested. I'm your spooky host, Curtis.
And I'm your nerdy host, Nick.
I had a whole thing, and then I started to laugh, and I lost it. It's totally fine, though. So let me tell you about my subway experience today. So we were trying to record early. I don't have my child tonight. She's gone for the weekend, and my in-laws are taking her to gymnastics. So it's like, oh, cool. Nick and I can get our recording done early, and that means that I have the evening to do whatever I want. It's probably going to be playing Monster Hunter and perhaps watching some YouTube or anime. So I went to, we did an online order for Subway. Pretty simple. We had to run to the grocery store real quick, grab a couple of things, and we were going to grab our food and come home. We get to the Subway and the food is not ready. And there's like a line and there's two people behind the counter. And it's like, I've worked in food service. I get it. I've worked in food service a couple of times. One time, like, a fast food setting for pizza, and another time in an actual, like, four-star restaurant. It was this older lady and this dude who was definitely a trainee because of the way that this older lady was talking to him, but you could tell from his expression and body language that he was not having it. It was not going well. And I look and I don't see the food. It was supposed to be ready by 5 o'clock. And it was 5:25. I'm like, God damn it. Whatever. I'll wait. So I'm just standing there on my phone by the counter waiting for other people to come in line. And she's like making all the stuff and all. And she like the second I went, when I walk in the door, she yells to the group that like, I'll try and get to everyone here quickly. I have some online orders I have to do too. And I was like, uh-oh. And then I didn't see mine. Like, okay, well, mine's one of those. Cool. So I'm like standing around and other people are going. I'm just kind of watching this lady and then I'm watching the trainee's reaction. And he's probably mid-20s to late 20s, early 30s. Like he's about the same age as me. And this lady is like grabbing the food and then turning to him and yelling instructions into his face, like not meanly, just really loudly, like, so what you do is... And he's just, like, staring at her, like, uh-huh. And this guy, she's doing this guy's bowl and all this stuff, and he asks for a fork, and she turns around, and she opens the cabinet, and she's staring into it for, like, 2 minutes until the customer's, like, up on the top and to the left, I see a box of forks. She's like, oh, thank you. And I look at the guy, and he makes direct eye contact with me and just slowly shakes his head. And I just kind of like give him a thumbs up. But it's like, so there's like, I wait around and there's all this time and there's people like leave and go sit in their car and then they come back and the line hasn't changed at all. And then she asks me what I'm waiting for, and I tell her an online order. She tells me she hasn't gotten into it yet. So then I hang out for another 10 minutes, and then she asks me again what I was waiting for, and I said, like, the name. And she said, okay, well, I'm going to get to that. And then she stops, and she looks at the computer, and she said, what name was that? And I give her my wife's name again. She's like, I don't have that name on here. We have a confirmation that says it was received. Well, it's not here on my list. I just have, and then proceeds to list off all the names of the online orders out loud at a yelling volume to the restaurant. I'm like, okay, hold on. I go out and I ask Courtney, because she's like, are you sure it was this store? And I go and I ask my wife, and it was. So I go back in, I tell her, and she just starts arguing with me that she doesn't have it on there. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I just know what the phone is telling us. So I go back out, and then my wife goes in. And two minutes later, she comes out, and we go to a different Subway to just buy the food. Like, it wasn't that we ordered to the wrong place. We just went to a different Subway to order the food again because it was like 6 o'clock.
Did you at least get a refund for the original?
We have to like contact Subway and wait for that whole. So for like, we will probably get it, but for the moment, it's just like screw it, I'm hungry, and I'm barely cloaking my anger with this lady. And I try to be understandable and reasonable, because I get it. It's not her fault that it's not on the computer. But it was the way she was, like, it was like the her tone of voice, which I get being frustrated, but it was kind of like a, I felt like she was trying to make it like I did something stupid. It's like, good. And the whole time this trainee is just shaking his head slowly. I'm like, if this is your first day, I don't have a feeling you will have a second. But I got food and now we're here. And I was on the phone. Like, it was just like, I had time and I knew it was going to take a while. So I was on the phone and I was talking to her, and she could hear, like, when the lady would talk to me and I would speak, she could kind of hear my, like, cloaked sarcasm and like just how over it I was. Because we had to do inventory all day long today, and they put a lady into our group who doesn't know how to count, doesn't know math, is not familiar with my area at all. So she doesn't know what any of the parts look like, how we do anything, where anything is at, nothing. And they stuck her in our group. So I had to deal with that all day. And then I walk into the subway and this lady starts talking, and I feel kind of bad because my immediate reaction was, ah, this again! Like, damn it! So that was my subway experience, but I have food and caffeine in me now, so it's better. But, like, I was standing there after a really long day just like, someone at Subway is gonna die. So if that didn't make it obvious, we're gonna talk about Renaissance fairs and conventions.
Yeah, that's what I think of when I think Subway.
I mean, to be honest, though, like, for real, like, joking but not joking, Subway is very much a con food. It's a LARP food, too.
I mean, any kind of fast food is a LARP food because it's something I usually would grab on the way to site.
Yeah. Well, I also feel like I see a lot of times at LARP before, like, you know, we can get there at like 5 and our game on isn't until like 9:30, 10:30, kind of depends on how everything's rolling. And so at like 6:30, 7 o'clock, somebody will have already brought all their stuff from their car and put it into their cabin and got themselves all set up. And then I just see them sit down in the tavern and produce a Subway bag from seemingly nowhere. It's usually like the kitchen staff slamming Subway into their mouths.
You're not wrong. They gotta eat before they start all the prep.
Yeah, they gotta eat before we eat.
You know, thinking about it, I haven't... Well, I mean, in all fairness, it is a newer site. This is our first year. I haven't really done much looking into what kind of fast food are around there. I know McDonald's is, just because the High Elves will leave at one point to go to McMage's to get food.
Oh, God, I love hate the High Elves, because they're all... It's so funny that the people who play High Elves, who are snooty high-class characters, are all feral goblins in real life. Like, and it's pretty consistently the truth all the time. Like, Bob plays the most high elfy high elf in existence.
Well, yeah, he's the high elf elder. He better be the most high elfy high elf.
Oh, yeah. And then when you catch him out of character, we end up like the gif of him sitting on the counter, kicking his feet back and forth, and just like with the biggest like ha 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 kind of look on his face at the camera.
Yeah.
I just want Theravel to break out a banjo.
That might be a bit much, but now I want to see it.
No, because then he can start convincing people that banjos are the most high-class instrument that there is. It's like, oh, you play the flute? That's a pretty common instrument. Dueling high elves. So I'm actually going to a convention this weekend.
I'm assuming Gen Con?
Yes, I am going to Gen Con. I'm not going for the full weekend.
Well, no, if you're going for the full weekend, you'd already be there with a few of the other people who are already there.
Oh, yeah, because that it starts on, like, Wednesday, which is... Oh, no, today's Thursday.
It started today, I do believe. Yeah, today.
Oh, boy. I guess that says a lot about where I'm at right now. It's Thursday. Yeah.
It is Thursday.
It is.
Damn it.
It's like, that's our normal recording day. So obviously we knew it was Thursday, but neither of us knew it was Thursday. Listen,
so much has gone on the last few weeks that I have lost track of everything.
Yeah. But that's actually something kind of cool that conventions I've noticed have started doing is being open on Thursday. Because, you know, when we were younger, conventions were Friday, Saturday, and then a little bit of Sunday. And in the past few, like, recent years, it seems, conventions have kind of seemingly realized that if they are open on Thursday, you have all of Thursday, all of Friday, all of Saturday, part of Sunday, you're going to get, one, more people. Two, that opens up the ability for more, like, panels, and you don't have to try and cram everything into 2.5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And three, is just more money.
That, and it allows people who are always stuck working weekends a chance to get out.
Yeah, you get to go out Thursday and Friday, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm only going Sunday, because for the whole weekend, it's like $200?
Yeah, no, it's expensive, that's for sure.
Yeah. And we started talking, for those who are not familiar with what Gen Con is, I think, the largest tabletop and card game / role play game convention in the Midwest, at least.
Let me confirm.
To Google, to make sure I'm not...
Well, I guarantee it's the largest in the Midwest. I'm pretty sure it's... largest tabletop game convention in North America.
Wow. By both
attendance and number of events.
I didn't know it was that big. Like, I've been there. I've only been there one time. This will be my second time attending. Last time I also only went for Sunday. Because Sunday, the passes are $16, and really the entire reason to go Sunday is, like, you just go to the vendor's hall the whole time.
Mm.
Which, to be honest, is kind of my favorite part about both Renaissance fairs and conventions, is just looking at the stuff you can buy. So, like, the ability to pay $16 instead of $200 is really nice. I only live like an hour and 50 away from Gen Con, so drive down in the morning, get there before it opens, stay there basically the whole time, which on Sunday is 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So wander around a vendor's hall for 6 hours. And I actually looked it up recently, the vendor's hall is 55,000 square feet.
Mm.
And that's just the vendor's, the exhibit hall. So it's a lot of stuff.
Sorry, I'm now reading about Gen Con, and it's fascinating.
It's really cool. They have, like, Dungeons & Dragons competitions. So you'll make a character and then run stuff like, what's that? There's a module, I can't think of it right now. You can probably Google it really fast once I explain it. But there is a module, it's a very classic one from original D&D, that's basically an almost impossible dungeon. That's basically, like, the whole module is just you running a gauntlet.
I am... Sorry. apparently, so, two things I picked up. One, in 2019, there were 68,000 unique attendees.
Oh, shit. I think that's the year before it went.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
But also, in 2008, in January, Gen Con was sued by Lucasfilm for breach of contract.
Doing what?
Let's see. Lucasfilm filed a lawsuit against them claiming breach of contract, conversion, and unjust enrichment over Celebration 4 held in 2006. The suit also claimed Gen Con failed to give the money raised at a charity auction held at the event to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Gen Con filed a countersuit claiming Lucasfilm had no basis for their claims and owed money to Gen Con.
Who won?
Then on February 15th, 2008, Gen Con announced Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
I see, I know who won!
as a result, the lawsuit was delayed until November 19th of that year. Gen Con 2008 was held as planned. November 20th, a letter of intent to purchase Gen Con was filed with bankruptcy court, blah, 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 blah. They rejected the hostile takeover bid, and the bankruptcy court allowed Gen Con to emerge from bankruptcy in January 2009.
That's crazy because they're still, one, they're massive, and two, they're obviously still going, and that's 12 years later. So not even Lucasfilms could stop them.
Well, I mean, it's not like Lucasfilms wanted to stop them.
Right, they just, they felt that they were owed money for something that they were not given.
Yeah.
Man, money gets in the way.
But, I mean, like, it had been hovering around, looks like 25,000 unique attendees, 25,000, blah, 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 until 2010, where it then starts to shoot up, and then in 2015, looks like they broke 60,000, dipped a little, and then up to 68 in 2019.
I think 2019 is when I went. That was so, my first one.
Who's ever taking care of things with Gen Con now apparently knows what they're doing.
Yeah, very obviously. I think they're getting it out better, I would assume.
Mm.
But, yeah, I
sorry. There's a list of Gen Cons. Would you like to know where Gen Con Zero took place?
Yes, I would.
Gary Gygax's house.
No.
Would you like to know how many attendees there were?
Yes.
12.
Oh. I mean, I guess that's a convention?
Well, that's why it's called Gen Con Zero. Gen Con 1, the first official one, was at the Horticultural Hall in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. It had 96 attendees.
Hey, there they go. That's something. You know. Yeah. Humble beginnings. And now it's close to 70,000 people.
Yeah.
And it is held in the Indianapolis, I think it's just called the
Indianapolis Indiana Convention Center.
Yeah, it's the Indianapolis Indiana Convention Center. That place is so big.
I mean, it's got to be to support something that big.
Oh, yeah. But like, if you look up pictures of just the exhibit hall, you can barely see the back wall. Like, I'm looking at it from this one picture. Hey.
This is from 2010. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, hey. Oh, 20. Yeah, I was going to say 2010. If you find a 2019 one, you might be able to pick me out in the crowd.
I just like that there's street signs.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many different sections of the convention and so much different stuff, because there are companies who are expoing new things and letting you try out like a new game that they're coming out with, or they've got big display oversized models of, maybe they're doing like a new war game, so they've got like robot models, and so they'll have a couple of super blown up 5 foot tall versions of those models. So it's incredibly cool. And then there's just nerd stuff everywhere. One of the people that we LARP with, who works for a LARP weapon company, is there, I think, right now. And they have a booth set up that they're just selling LARP weapons at, and you can buy costuming stuff and cosplay and, like, I've found some really cool art there, and you can get, like, furry costuming, and it's just, like, there's just so much stuff. T-shirts and pins and buttons and...
So, I've never been to Gen Con. I would love to go, just because, boy, do I like games.
Dude, some of the stuff, like, you would flip your lid.
The last convention I actually vividly remember going to was the first Grand Rapids Comic Con.
When was that?
That was years ago.
Okay.
I don't remember how many years, but boy, did they underestimate the popularity of that thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Luckily, I was there with a vendor, so I got to stand behind a table. I did venture out briefly to walk through the hall, and I say walk through the hall. It was so packed in there, you literally... Everyone was up against the tables, just kind of walking in a single file line, slowly.
Oh, wow. So
you kind of had to just, like, look at stuff as you went by, as the entire line of people keeps moving continuously.
That's really... Like, that's wild.
Yeah, they had a line of people waiting to get it down the street. They actually had to close admission because of hitting the capacity for the building.
Wow.
Which, yeah.
That's incredible.
It was intense.
Yeah, I bet. And I bet they were like, okay, well, I guess people around here like comics or something.
Yeah, it was interesting. That's for sure.
That kind of sounds like, did you see recently, like, it was kind of a mild big deal. And people were just kind of blown away by it. Did you see about how full Anime Expo got recently?
No.
It's not a small convention. I think actually Anime Expo is the largest anime convention in the United States. And so many people attended this most recent Anime Expo that the fire marshals would no longer allow anybody else in the building because they were afraid that if there was a fire, there would be casualties. There were that many people. It was actually like people were elbow to elbow anywhere on the expo floor.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Like looking at it, it's a very perfect diagram of the difference between liquid and solid molecular structure. Because it is very much the solid molecules where they're just barely able to bump around on each other, mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Like, I love seeing something that popular, but boy, the me that doesn't like crowds.
Yeah. That, and we're nerds. We know nerds. Ugh. That expo with that yeah. many nerds probably didn't smell very good.
Yeah. That's always the downside.
Yeah, I love nerds. I love my friends. And I don't really think I cannot think of any of my our friend group who is that person, but there mm-hmm. are some nerds.
I will say the LARP now, not as big of an issue. But then again, I also don't stay overnight on site anymore. So it may be as big of an issue. I just don't deal with it because I don't stay in the sleeping cabins.
Yeah, but
from my experience.
Yeah, well, that's fair. The people that I typically stay in a cabin with, it's never an issue. And that's always very nice. And I never notice it in the tavern. And we pack about 100 people into that building. It's not super big. Though,
back when I started, we didn't even have running water. So, you know, that makes a big difference.
Yeah, that does make a very big difference. That makes it like a world of difference. Saturday in the morning, I actually go and shower.
Mm-hmm.
It's not pleasant, but I do it.
Yeah, no, especially like the summer events. The summer events, I will shower before going to bed and then shower when I wake up.
Mm-hmm. I do not blame you at all.
Because, boy.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Well, last game, I actually, when I went to go shower, it was really funny. One, there were these like tiny black beetles everywhere at the camp.
I heard about that.
I don't know what was up, but it was awful. But in the bathrooms over by Monster Camp, which is the one that has the showers that I use, they were all over the they were on the walls and stuff, and I'm like, oh, that's not they're it's not that bad. And then I looked up at the ceiling and then I didn't look up at the ceiling the rest of the time I was showering. I just ignored that there was a ceiling. But there's these two shower heads and two shower stalls, and the one on the left had more of the beetles. So I was like, eh, I'll just use this other one. And then I figured out that there was a very vast difference in shower head pressure between the left and the right. The right one was like a gentle little trickle of water that, like, while I was in there, I had to get underneath it, and it was almost like I was showering underneath a watering can.
And I'm assuming the left one was the kind of shower head where it's so intense it's going to clean you by cutting your skin off.
Yeah, because my buddy Tyler, like, I'm in the shower and I hear the door open and close, and I'm like, I waited for a second, and then I hear Tyler, who's become my LARP shower buddy, like, he and I go and we take showers at the same time, like, every single time, and it's quiet for a second, and then I hear, hello. I'm like, ah, shower buddy. And then I had worn shoes and I kicked them underneath the sink, which is across from the showers. And he starts getting his stuff all ready and then turns on the shower for a second. And I hear him go, ah! And then the water goes back off. And then he leans over to my shower and goes, I moved your shoes. So the water pressure is so strong in the other one that it leaves the shower stall and enters the rest of the bathroom and goes under the sink. And the other one is like somebody's taking like taking a glass of water, pouring a mouthful into theirs, and then just slowly like drizzling it out of their mouth onto me.
You gotta love the difference.
Yeah, that was a visceral description. I apologize to anybody who finds that skin-crawlingly horrific. It's true, though. That, and I am a city boy, and it's well water, and when both showers are going, it gets very, very well watery in there. And towards the end of the shower, one, I was rushing, and two, I was like grabbing my towel, pushing it against my face, breathing in an entire lung's worth of air, and then quickly finishing my shower before releasing it and just breathing back through the towel, because the well water smell was like, I was gonna lose it. But conventions and Renaissance fairs.
So the reason I wanted to talk Renaissance fairs is mm-hmm. because coming up very soon, actually, what is the date for that?
Well, just generally in our country right now, it is Renaissance fair season.
Yes. It's more I wanted to know for the specific one, because it's the one, you know, closest one to me.
Oh, yeah.
It's the one I go to, August 20th. So 2 weeks.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks, kicks off the Michigan Renaissance Festival.
Woo-woo!
Which is the seventh largest in the country rated for attendance.
I mean, it's a really good Renaissance fair.
It averages 240,000 people a season, which is, I believe, 8 weekends, Saturdays and Sundays. Does include the Monday of Labor Day. They also have a festival Friday, which I cannot remember when that is. But for the most part, it's Saturday and Sundays.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're open from mid-late August to beginning of October?
Yes. I want to say it's like end of September.
Yeah.
Maybe beginning of October, depending on when it kicks off the season.
Right. That, and I know that they get close at least to October, because I think typically the last weekend they have some like Halloween-themed parties and stuff that you can attend.
Yeah, and then they also have Halloween stuff that happens after the fair ends as well.
I didn't know that. Well, you're going to need to let me know then when that happens now.
I actually don't know if they announced anything for it this year. They used to, at least. I do remember that. But
the before times?
Yeah, the before four. So the thing I like about Michigan Renaissance Festival, yes, it has had its issues in the recent years. Mm-hmm. Due to a variety of reasons. But I go because I love the vendors there, and I absolutely love the acts that are there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there are 16 stages.
16?
Yeah, 16.
I guess I just don't pay attention. That sounds like a lot.
There are, well, so the thing is, some are kind of like tucked away a little.
That
if you're not looking for them, you can easily skip over them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm like mentally walking through the Renaissance Fair, and you're right. Like, there's that one tucked in the back. I think it's got a bunch of like hanging fabric in the air, and that typically has like 18 plus shows, right?
Oh, are you talking about the wench show?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's the Washing Boat Wenches. That is their stage.
Oh, yeah, like that. Yeah, that is their stage.
Yes, but there are other acts that perform there, but that is the wench's stage.
Yeah. And then there's that one stage that does glass blowing. So I guess that would also count, probably.
They do. I don't know if that actually counts as one of the stages. I don't think it does. But the people who do the glass blowing there in their shop, their actual shop is, I want to say, in Dearborn.
Okay.
I've actually taken a class there with them, and you're familiar with Fordall's mug, the blue glass one?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Yes, that is a hand-blown glass tankard from them.
Oh, cool.
One of a kind. Some of the colors are made from scrap. The blue, I believe they said, it was either blue or the yellow, I can't remember which, isn't actually made anymore.
Oh, cool.
So if that thing breaks...
Yeah. You bring that to game?
I don't want to anymore, because I've been thinking about it and just... Yeah, no, I'm going to be shopping this year for a ceramic mug to take its place.
Yeah, there is a mug vendor that is across from, it's like Glass Eye or Eye of Something. They make a whole bunch of like glass blown necklaces, and there are some blown glass pieces for like smoking the non-tobacco.
No, those are for tobacco use only.
Yeah.
Actually, nowadays,
I was gonna say, do they really have to say that you can smoke weed in Michigan?
Yeah. Okay. In all fairness, they used to have those signs.
Yeah. And now they're just like, it's weed. We can sell it. It's legal here. But across the way from them, there is a ceramic vendor. I think it's Mirami. I have a card of theirs and like two of their mugs, but I can't remember. But you should go check their stuff out because it's super good.
The wonderful thing about being so close to fair is we get season passes. So we go. If we're not doing something else on a weekend, we go to fair. That's just how it is.
That makes sense. Yep, yep, yep.
We go multiple times, sometimes in costume, sometimes not in costume. Really depends. When we do our shopping weekends, which is when we actually go there to spend money, we typically just go in street clothes because it's like, okay, the last few weekends we saw these things we need to get. We just go boom, 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 done.
Mm-hmm. Efficient.
Yeah. But so the fair itself takes up, I want to say, it's like not even 20 acres.
It is very closely packed.
Yeah. They do report that the site itself is like, oh, it's over 100 or so acres, but that includes all the grounds they own.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the active fairgrounds.
Oh, right.
The fair I really want to go to, I've always wanted to go to, and that's the Texas Renaissance Festival, just because pictures from it have always looked so amazing, and I realized why it always looks so amazing. That is because the Texas Renaissance Festival is the largest Renaissance festival in the country.
And I have been there one time.
It boasts 25 stages, over 55 fair acres.
It was pretty cool. And as of
2016, their reported attendance was 678,500 attendees.
That's so many people. That's almost as many people as Texas has. It's not, but
no.
I mean, Texas only has 32 million residents. Like, that's not that much. For a state that has the exact same amount of landmass as France and Germany combined, it only has 32 million people, which is half the population of either of those two countries alone.
Huh. Did you know the population of Germany is 83.24 million people?
It went up. That's pretty good. The last time I had checked, it was like 73, but I think that was like a 2017 census.
Nope. You said 73?
I think so. 73 million?
See, last time it was reported 73 million was 1961.
Oh, then I have my numbers wrong. That just makes it more so, though, because that means that they are 2.5 times as populated but have half the space of Texas.
Listen, it's all about population density.
It is, and Germany is a very densely populated country.
As is most of Europe, really.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Right. Well, I mean, Europe is slightly bigger than the United States. If you compare mileage, it looks smaller on maps because that's how maps were drawn.
Yep. Maps distort everything to a crazy degree.
Well, it's like taking something that's round and making it into a flat surface.
Well,
like,
that's part of things. It.
Yeah, it's part of it. It's not the whole reason.
It's the less sensitive reasons
less infuriating reason. For why there are some countries that look bigger on maps than others, but that's another conversation for a different episode.
Yep.
An episode with maybe a content warning at the beginning.
But yeah, I've also had many multiple friends who have either worked at Renfest or are working at Renfest.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. It's fascinating just to see, I don't know, the different ways, even as a LARPer, it's interesting to watch someone pop in and out of character so fast.
Oh, yeah. It's impressive. Like, it's
fascinating to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's the people who just don't pop out of character.
Mm.
They're running around the entire time, and it doesn't matter what conversation you have with them, they're in character. And that, one, is super impressive. And two, I don't know if I could keep that up for that long.
I can't. Tried it before. Not fun.
yeah, it's I try to at game. It kind of depends. But like, as somebody who LARPs, it's very hard to stay in character for super long periods of time, let alone an entire weekend, 8 weekends in a row.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. They are so impressive to be able to pull that off and do such a good job at it, especially all the Fae characters at the Holly Renaissance Fair.
Yes.
Like, that has to be exhausting. They are all so high energy all the time.
I mean, you know, I used to think it was exhausting. Then I played Ferdal, and I get it. I get it. You can do that for a weekend, and then you are dead at the end of that weekend.
Yeah.
And the next weekend rolls around, you do it again.
And then six more times after that. That's a lot.
Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely a lot. Believe me.
Those people do drugs. And I don't blame them at all.
I think, so something fascinating that I've learned is that just because somebody goes to Renfest for years and years to the point where they have memorized certain shows to the point they can recite them off fair grounds at your bonfire.
Oh, wow.
Ben and Pete are so familiar with the Rogueblades that they will do the show on their own.
Why does that not surprise me at all, though?
They will also quote the show while being in the audience.
Oh my, they're those people.
I mean, yeah, they are those people. But I did learn that some of these people who have been to fair for so long, so frequently, have never seen The Washing Well Wenches. And that is like my go-to show because, boy, is it great. I don't care if it never changes. It's amazing.
I actually haven't ever seen them either.
Okay, well, that's a little more understandable for you. You live a bit of ways.
Right. Well, and I think I've only been to 4 Holly, Michigan Renaissance fairs.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, like...
Yeah, whereas last year, I think we went, like, 7 or 8 times.
Yeah, exactly. I only go once a year. So I've been there maybe 4 or 5 times over the span of 4 or 5 years. So it's a little different than somebody who goes every single week.
Yeah. The wonderful thing about it, though, is just the fact that Renaissance festivals are just LARP shopping malls, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 100%. Absolute.
And I know I'm not the only one who thinks that Renaissance festivals are essentially just LARP shopping malls. At least that's how we use them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that is 100% how we use them.
But it's fascinating to me to see the people who only have the costumes for festivals and the amount of time and money they spend on them. Like, I get it. It's obviously something you're passionate about. But for me, it was always hard to justify that level of expense, both time and money, until I started LARPing. And then it was like, oh, I have this costume year-round.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't just use it for 2 months out of the year. I use it for 10 months out of the year. Well, mm-hmm. 9, 10. Yeah.
9. Because we do have the December party, typically.
Yeah, there's the winter party. There's the normal events. Plus, you know, it's, what do you think I wear to Renfest?
Like, yeah. Absolutely. Also, sometimes, what do you think I wear for Halloween?
But yeah, like, my favorite thing about carps is that, yes, while we love people having costuming, I still vividly remember back when we were at Brighton, someone just happened to be walking through the camp. Because this was at Brighton Rec, so it was, you know, State Park.
Mm-hmm.
Someone just happened to be walking through and they just kind of stop and they're like, what are you all doing? Like, someone explains to them what we're doing and they're like, can I play? Like, they got super excited.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we took them over to NPC camp. We're like, here's a weapon, here's a shield, go have fun. Like, here's your character, bing, bang, boom, there you go. So, yeah, there was a guy who walked around site for a couple hours in literally jean shorts and a band t-shirt.
Hey, man, fine, though. He got to have the experience, and that's super exactly. cool.
Exactly. Nobody cared, because we knew the situation. It wasn't like somebody came for the weekend intending to play, and that was their outfit. No, this is someone who wandered into sight, was like, this looks great. Which I would like to say doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, we definitely don't
happened last event.
Yeah. There was like, to start, oh man. Do we want to unlock this tangent or do we want to save it? Okay.
All I was going to say is, like, it was always amusing to me when we played at Brighton just to be like mid game and all of a sudden you know, you hear a car coming down the road into the parking lot, you turn, and it's just these people in a car, and they pull into the parking lot, and they just stop, and they make eye contact, and they freeze, and you see their brain as it's trying to process what's happening.
You're like, hmm.
Community and then they theater, slowly perhaps? Reverse out.
I don't know if I want to be part of this play. We're just going to leave.
Like, it was always amusing to me. Which, now that we rent out sites wholly, it doesn't typically happen anymore.
Typically. Let's do a LARP episode next game. Or next game. Good gosh. Next episode. Let's do another LARP episode. One, it's been a while. And, like, we have... There are a handful of people that have told me, like, those are their favorite episodes. So we'll do another one. But then we can actually talk about it.
With that... is if I start telling LARP stories, I don't remember which stories I've told.
It's okay. I don't think they will remember either. It's fine. But I want to get into what happened last game, though.
I can just see in the future we'll have like a bunch of LARP episodes and people will be like, I'm just going to put a playlist of these and listen to them all back to back. And it's like, man, Nick only knows four stories.
He just tells them in a different order, and sometimes one name changes.
Listen, my brain is a wondrous place, and I can't remember shit.
It's full of mostly cotton candy and sprinkles. Sometimes I find a quarter.
But yeah, I'm definitely excited for RenFest this year. We got multiple meetups planned.
Mm-hmm. I'm going with small groups, big groups.
You.
I believe I'm going with you. Yeah, I'm going with you to one of them.
Yeah, it should be fun. I don't even remember. I can never remember the theme weekends in order.
Oh, yeah.
I used to. Okay, so it kicks off with Pirates and Pups.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just a fun weekend.
It is, yeah.
Highland Fling after that, which is always a good time just because I love watching the Highland games. Just because Caber Toss, I love it.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's super
also
cool.
Fun just to be standing there as they do it, and you just kind of go, it could come this way.
Yeah, or like, I could totally do that.
Oh, no, I don't have those delusions.
I have a feeling that one of our mutual friends might.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
His name starts with a P and ends with an EAT.
Pretty sure he's actually said that.
Uh-huh. That sounds like him, where he's like, you know what? Those don't look that heavy.
The weekend after that is the Viking Invasion, which I know Pete likes.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Wonders of the World. The weekend after that is Shamrocks and Shenanigans.
Hmm.
Followed by Harvest Huzzah.
Oh, I bet that one's fun.
And then the last weekend is Sweet Endings, which includes the Festival Friday.
That's cool. That's very cool. So I haven't noticed a huge difference in content from themes weekends, especially not the pirate one.
No, there used to be. There used to be wandering shows and stuff that would happen.
Mm.
Things have changed due to a variety of things. Less COVID, more ownership. But they do have special events that are specific to the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Such as Pirates and Pups has dog rescue groups that come in, as well as dog training demonstrations and contests. I don't know that they have much pirate stuff.
They don't have much pirate stuff. No, it's very dog, which is fine. That's super cool that they do the dog stuff. They might as well just drop the pirate part. It's like I, as a pirate, went to Pirates and Pups. Like, I think that was the one that we went to last year. And I was just kind of looking around. And I'm like, this don't seem much different than the rest of them.
And again, it won't. It did. Years ago, they actually used to have like a whole show that happened throughout the day in different parts of the fairgrounds that actually involved an ongoing story for the whole day.
Oh, that's super cool.
Yeah, it was very interesting. But then like the Highland Fling, that's got Highland games as well as kilt competition. Viking Invasion has a beard/mustache contest, as well as a tattoo contest.
Mm.
Wonders of the World has the Belly Dancing Championship. It's also a steampunk weekend.
Yeah.
Let's see. Shamrocks and Shenanigans also has a kilt thing. That's all it mentions.
Yeah, but also, like, the Irish and the Scottish might not appreciate the combination.
Listen, as somebody that's both, meh.
Yeah, I am also both. I am Irish, Scottish, Welsh, and British. So, like, my ancestors were blowing up my own ancestors, so, you know.
Yeah, it's one of those great things. I look at my heritage and go, oh, that's white.
Yeah. That's about white.
Harvest Huzzah is also the Deaf Awareness Weekend.
What? What? What?
So Deaf Awareness Weekend, it's where the shows all have interpreters.
Oh, deaf.
Yes. Not death. Not death.
I thought you said death awareness, and I was like, go on.
Well, with Harvest Huzzah and knowing what kind of harvest festivals happen, that's possible.
Yeah, but. Well, that's why I was asking. But also because... I've been to the Bristol Renaissance Fair, which is in Kenosha, Wisconsin. I've been there twice. And there is a roaming show at the end of the day that we missed because we learned about it before the second time and then we didn't see it. And I was very sad. But they are all these, like, faceless performers. They wear these long black robes that cover them head to toe. And then these big white, like, creepy masks. And then they're covered in bells. And they just roam around as a group together. And it was like, it's like something macabre or something like that. But it's like, I was hoping that there was something similar at Holly when I thought you said death awareness. I was like, memento mori?
There are other smaller, and I do mean smaller, because when you're used to... Renfest, it's really hard to go to a smaller one and not be like, man, this is it. Like, you have to realize every fair starts somewhere, and when you're coming from a large fair, it's hard to keep in the back of your mind that obviously it's not going to have the same kind of draw, both not only in attendees but also in vendors,
right?
But I know Canterbury Village has one. It's a small one that they just started. I want to say they started it during the lockdown.
Oh.
Like it was a drive through thing.
Oh, interesting.
Or maybe they started it right after.
Okay.
I remember looking into it right after just because it was, you know, when things were right opening up, it was, you know, here's your time, pick your time, here's your 2-hour window kind of thing.
Oh, I vaguely remember seeing one of our mutuals sharing that on Facebook.
And then there's another one that I'm blanking on the name of. It's like Mid-Michigan or something. And it just happened.
Okay.
It used to be in the fall. Like, it used to take place after Renfest, which is great, given its site. We have gone to that one. Unfortunately, now it's, you know, end of July when it runs. And it is in the middle of woods that get no breeze. So it is hot.
Yeah.
And I really wish they had kept it in the original time frame.
Yeah.
It was too hot and too humid to really enjoy it out there. We didn't stay long just because it was unbearable.
I bet it was super stuffy.
Oh, yeah. And honestly, if they kept it in the original time frame, it would be flourishing because it was growing. But then they moved it into July, and from my understanding, attendance dropped off. And reason being is, boy, it's hot.
Yeah, we in Indiana, we have a small one, and we had one in, I think it was Auburn. It was either in Auburn or Angola. There was a small one. It was all pop-up tents and stuff like that. And it had like a jousting competition, which was cool. And that was the draw. And that one collapsed due to infighting amongst the coordinators of the event. So that one died off. And I think the Fishers Renaissance Fair is still a thing. It's like 20-30 minutes outside of Indianapolis, Indiana. And that one is also a bunch of pop-up tents. But theirs is normally late fall is when that's going on. So most of the times we went, the ground was muddy, it was wet, and it was like 45 degrees.
Not gonna lie, that sounds like perfect weather. With costuming and everything, that's just toss layers on, you're good.
Yeah, And now I think I will be fine because I own all the layers. I didn't own the layers back then. That was when I was playing Dagger here. So it was like 7 or 8 years ago.
Mm.
So yeah, I got super cold.
It's always the weird thing about Renfest, because it starts late summer and goes into the fall. It's this weird of typically the first weekend or two, you're just like, oh my God, it is so hot out here. Why do they do this? And then by the end, you're like, ooh, coats, hoodies. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Renaissance fairs are an absolute delight. I love going to them. Gen Con is really cool. I've been to a handful of anime conventions in my lifetime, and I kind of like fell out of going to them. And now I kind of have this regained want to go to one. And I think the one that I want to go to is this one called Colossal Con.
Mm-hmm.
And it is in Sandusky, Ohio.
At a wonderful resort that I've been to outside of a convention, and I want to go back.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is at the Kalahari Resort and Convention Center. And there's, like, a huge water park and a giant arcade in it, too. So, one, that just sounds like a dope-ass resort to stay at. But then when you add in the fact that there's also a convention going on, so there's nerd people everywhere wearing super cool costumes, it just sounds, like, so good. A couple of our friends go. One of our friends, Claire, who actually does, like, I think professional. I want to say, if not professional because money, professional because quality cosplays. Mm-hmm. Goes to that and takes pictures. She just recently did. And I was kind of like, wow, that looks really fun. And then one of my friends was telling me about it. And I was like, okay, I think I need to go. And I think I want to do a Monster Hunter cosplay, which means I'm going to be wearing head-to-toe armor with a 6-foot weapon.
See, I have zero faith in my ability to do any kind of creation for cosplay. So I'd just be that weirdo in street clothes.
So, I mean, there are a lot of people who wear street clothes. I have a couple of options because I also don't think that I could create like a really nice quality cosplay. I think I would either have some of our friends make it for me, or I would see if there was one online that I could buy. My backup is I have seen on Etsy. There's a lot of really cool cyberpunk style stuff. There's these masks I've seen specifically that are like a full face shield with these really cool almost Gundam-like wings coming off of it, and some people do lights in it and stuff like that. And then there's this clothing type called tech wear, T-E-C-H-W-E-A-R.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of, like, nylon buckles and, like, black, not windbreaker, but that kind of, like, smooth, light jacket material.
Oh, okay.
And then a lot of it has, like, Japanese kanji on it, so it just looks really cool. And I've considered getting a whole outfit of that and the mask, and that's just my I'm going to a costume thing, let me throw this on because it looks cool. So I could always do that, but I would enjoy having like a Monster Hunter cosplay because Monster Hunter costumes are so fucking cool. But that typically that's in June, like late May or during June is when Colossal Con happens. So if that sounds cool to anybody, Colossal Con 2023, I would look into it.
Colossal Con 2023, May 31st to June 4th.
There you go. So now you got dates. Now I have dates. Now I can start looking. Apparently, if you want to stay at the Kalahari, you have to pay attention to when they're going to start allowing people to book places, because that bitch fills up fast.
I will say, if you go to Colossal Con and don't stay at Kalahari, you should probably just try and book time at Kalahari at a different weekend, because it is a lot of fun. As somebody who went as a couple, no children, a lot of fun.
Oh, I bet, man.
Absolutely loved the adults-only hot tub with the swim-up bar.
Ooh, cool. Yeah. No, I have a child. I'm not taking my child. I'm going just my wife and I.
Yeah, they got a lazy river that encircles the whole thing. It's great.
Oh my gosh, that sounds awesome.
It is a lot
That
fun.
Sounds awesome. I think I bumped the mic. Oops.
It happens.
It's fine. Yeah, I drew attention to it, so I have to leave it in now. Oops. Oh well. the ups and downsides of editing. it's totally fine. I did find, last thing though, I did find that ceramics vendor that I was talking about, who I was recommending you go and check out when you were at the Holly Renaissance mm-hmm. Fair. As long as they are there, they almost always have the exact same booth. It is Mesiree Ceramics Studio. M-E-S-I-R-E-E Ceramics Studio. They have a website, so you can check them out. But they are listed on the renfest.org website. So I would check them out. I have a cup of theirs. It's like a lavender purple, and it has a cat skull with a bunch of really cool flowers around the outside. It's an amazing mug. I'm very, very happy with it. But you should totally... You, the listener, should check out their website and check them out on the interwebs. And you, the Nicholas, should go and check them out at the Holly Fair. And anybody else who goes to the Holly Fair, go check them out. Mention that you heard about them on our podcast.
Because I am
like,
me.
It's going to mean anything to them. they're gonna be, okay.
I have looked up upcoming Michigan conventions.
Mm-hmm.
Just a quick glance from this site. We got one coming up literally this weekend, so anyone that hears this episode, not going to matter for this year.
you, turns out you missed it.
It is the Really Cool Comic-Con. That's right, that's the name. In Flint, Michigan, at the... It's apparently the Dort Federal Credit Union Event Center nowadays. It used to be the IMA when I was growing up.
Oh, back in my day.
then there is the Grand Con, which is September 2nd through the 4th in Grand Rapids. It is a gaming convention. It is Michigan's premier tabletop gaming show.
Oh, cool. We actually gave them one that they can plan for as well. Instead of one that will have happened 5 days before the episode airs.
Ooh, I could make it to this one, maybe.
Nice. Do it. Everybody go there and hunt Nick down.
Well, now I'm not going.
Oh no, that's, maybe not, who knows.
There is also Brick World.
Ooh.
September 24th and 25th at the Suburban Collection Showplace in Novi. That is, if you couldn't tell from the name, that is a Lego convention.
Oh man, I thought it was for construction workers maybe.
I mean, kind of, Lego construction workers.
Oh yeah, you know what, that's fair. That's fair. I just picture somebody putting construction work on their resume, and when they ask, they're like, yes, I collect Legos.
This here is Great Lakes Fall Expo 2022, which apparently is organized by Great Lakes Comic Con, which isn't on the list. What is... Oh, it's apparently February of next year.
Okay.
February 24th and 25th, 2023 is the Great Lakes Comic Con, but the Great Lakes Fall Expo, which is organized by them, well, this is... I don't know what it is, because this is saying the Great Lakes Comic-Con. Okay, well, stop telling me about the Great Lakes Comic-Con.
Tell me about the expo!
I don't know what it is. Yeah, it's apparently a thing.
Somebody else do the Google. I bet you can figure it out.
Let's see, what's going on at the Fall Expo? Is this a stock photo? It's a comic expo. There we go. Thank you. That'll work.
Say, you're being catfished. It's in a back alley somewhere. They're gonna try and steal your wallet and keys.
Then there is the Jackson Toy Show, or New Toledo Toy Show. It's called both. It is October 8th.
That's okay.
October 8th. see, it is toys and collectibles.
Cool. Awesome. I wouldn't be surprised if Danhausen goes there. If you don't know who Danhausen is, you should look him up. Good luck on spelling it. I will not tell you.
there is the Geeky Experience Comic-Con in Holland, also October 8th.
Hmm.
So that's a Comic-Con.
Choose wisely.
You can do the toy show or Comic-Con. Only one. In November 3rd through the 6th, every year, Yomicon, which also falls on a Carps weekend.
God damn it.
Whenever a convention falls on a Carps weekend, we have that wonderful, where is everybody?
Oh, yeah. Why are there not very many people here?
And I realize not everyone is obsessed about LARPing like I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, my wife and I keep having the issue of Fort Wayne's Pride Festival falls on a Carps weekend every single year without fail.
I mean, my family Christmas party also falls on the December event without fail every year. So it's like, okay.
I guess I'll see you family later. I gotta go be with my jingle character.
Listen.
I love you guys, but...
Yeah, so Yomacon, 3rd through the 6th, that's an anime convention in Detroit. That's a big one.
Yeah, I have never gotten to go to that one, but I would like to. But apparently I won't get to this year.
There is the Blue Water International Comic Con in Port Huron. Oh, Blue Water Bridge. I guess that makes sense.
You guys have a lot of cons.
Listen, what else are we going to do in Michigan?
What the fuck else are we going to do when we're not messing with the imp?
The rouge. November 19th. One day cons are always weird to me. I get it, but... So yeah, that's Port Huron, November 19th. And then there's the Great Lakes Holiday Expo 2022, which is also organized by Great Lakes Comic Con.
Man, they do a lot.
So they have the Fall Expo and the Holiday Expo. This one is December 3rd.
Okay.
Also, Carps Weekend.
Also organized by the Great Lakes people.
Well, they also have a Summer Expo, which is in the middle of July. So it sounds like they just have little comic shows outside of the big one they run.
That's cool, though. I mean, honestly, that is pretty neat.
And I guarantee that's not all of them. That's just the ones I could find with a single search. So
yeah, at a passing Google glance.
Yeah. 1 year I'll get to go to Texas.
1 year? Why? Can we just take the Texas Renaissance Fair and physically move? Can we take Bikini Bottom and push it somewhere else so that we don't have to enter the state of Texas?
Listen, I understand it's a permanent site that takes up 55 acres, but if we just kind of pack it up...
But hear me out. There is this place called the UP.
All I can remember is Vasco going and his armor getting lost.
See, it's cursed, I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. It's a cool Renaissance fair, but it's cursed. Ooh, it steals and eats armor.
I don't actually remember if he ever got it back.
I don't know.
Because like, he shipped it down there him. Because you're not going to fly with that.
No.
That is never. Not going to fit in a suitcase. And even if it does.
I'm Iron Man.
Pretty sure it's going to be an overweight.
Yeah, good luck getting that suitcase. Past TSA.
Sorry, you need to check that. Clank, clank.
I'd like to check this bag.
I will say, though, my favorite thing about Fesco is going to Renfest and just going, oh, it's a full suit of armor. Is it one of Fesco's?
Yeah, just knocking. Hello, Fesco?
Well, because he's got multiple suits, which is the amusing part.
Yeah, and I think he just made another one, too.
He converted a Stormtrooper set over to a Clockwork set of armor.
I gotcha. That's really cool. And I am now realizing means absolutely nothing to any of our listeners.
He plays a Clockwork Golem at a different LARP.
Yes.
There we go. Boom.
There we go. Yeah. That's which is cool. And his armors are always very cool.
Yeah. I look at his stuff and go, man, I wish I had the competence to do that.
And the money and the time.
One day. No.
No, never. I don't think
I have ever. No delusions.
Yeah. I don't think we'll ever be at Fesco's level.
Then I think Aubrey would kill me if I picked up another hobby.
Oh, absolutely. Like, this is part of the blacksmithing.
Listen.
Oh, shit. I'd like to thank Nolan Dye for the use of our theme song. Hey, man, if it's okay. If I don't do it now, we'll never stop talking.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I'd like to thank Nolan Dye for the use of our theme song, Chinaski, by his band Sad Gravity. You can find them, as well as his other band, Best Sleep, on Spotify. Thank you, Azriel Jones, our social media manager. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching. Oh, I had a good flow and I lost it. Passionately Interested. Just like the podcast is spelled. I'm not going to spell that for you either. You can read or you can't. Who knows? If you enjoy the show, tell your friends about us. Share us around and maybe get them interested in going to some conventions and some Renaissance fairs. If you've been trying to push them along, maybe this will help entice them. We are the enablers. Your dark wishes shall be our command. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. I'm Curtis.
I'm Nick. Did you know that the first true Renaissance fair as we know them today was the Renaissance Pleasure Fair of Southern California in 1962?
Also, we forgot to say this is the 1 year since our first episode. Super exciting. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for listening.